Chapter 57. It's very coolie. If I hadn't known it to be China, I should have guessed myself the polar regions. Dear Mr. Clennam, you are right, however, and I cannot blame you, but as to Doisan Clennam Papa's property being about here, we heard it from Pangsand, but for him, we never should have heard one word about it. I am satisfied. Apostrophe, no, don't say that. Apostrophe, what nonsense not to say it. Arthur Doisan Clennam easier, and less trying to me than Mr. Clennam, when I know it and you know it too, and can't deny it. Apostrophe, but I do deny it, Flora. I should soon have made you a friendly visit. Apostrophe, ah. Apostrophe, said Flora, tossing her head. I dare say. Apostrophe, and she gave him another of the old looks. However, when Panks told us, I made up my mind that Mr. F.S. and I would come and call, because when Papa, which was before that, happened to mention her name to me and to say that you were interested in her, I said at the moment, good gracious, why not have her here then, when there's anything to do instead of putting it out? Apostrophe, when you say her, apostrophe, observed Clennam, by this time pretty well bewildered. Do you mean Mr. F.S. apostrophe? My goodness, Arthur Doisan Clennam really easier to me with old remembrances. Whoever heard of Mr. F.S. and doing needlework, and going out by the day? Apostrophe, going out by the day. Do you speak of Little Dorrit? Apostrophe, why yes, of course, apostrophe, returned Flora. And of all the strangest names I ever heard, the strangest, like a place down in the country with a turnpike, or a favorite pony or a puppy, or a bird or something from a seed shop to be put in a garden or a flower pot, and come up speckled. Apostrophe, then, Flora, apostrophe, said Arthur, with a sudden interest in the conversation. Mr. Casby was so kind as to mention Little Dorrit to you, was he? What did he say? Apostrophe, oh, you know what Papa is, apostrophe, rejoined Flora, and how aggravatingly he sits looking beautiful, and turning his thumbs over and over one another till he makes one giddy, if one keeps one's eyes upon him. He said when we were talking of you, I don't know who began the subject, Arthur Doisan Clennam, but I am sure it wasn't me, at least I hope not, but you really must excuse my confessing more on that point. Apostrophe, certainly, apostrophe, said Arthur. By all means. Apostrophe, you are very ready, apostrophe, pouted Flora, coming to a sudden stop in a captivating bashfulness, that I must admit. Papa said you had spoken of her in an earnest way, and I said what I have told you, and that's all. Apostrophe, that's all? Apostrophe, said Arthur, a little disappointed. Except that when Panks told us of your having embarked in this business, and with difficulty persuaded us that it was really you, I said to Mr. F.S. and then we would come and ask you, if it would be agreeable to all parties, that she should be engaged at our house, when required, for I know she often goes to your mama's, and I know that your mama has a very touchy temper. Arthur Doisan Clennam, I never might have married Mr. F., and might have been at this hour, but I am running into nonsense. Apostrophe, it was very kind of you, Flora, to think of this. Apostrophe, poor Flora, rejoined with a plain sincerity which became her better than her youngest glances, that she was glad he thought so. She said it with so much heart that Clennam would have given a great deal to buy his old character of her on the spot and throw it and the mermaid away forever. I think, Flora, apostrophe, he said, that the employment you can give Little Dorrit, and the kindness you can show her, apostrophe, yes, and I will, apostrophe, said Flora, quickly. I am sure of it will be a great assistance and support to her. I do not feel that I have the right to tell you what I know of her, for I acquired the knowledge confidentially, and under circumstances that bind me to silence. But I have an interest in the little creature, and a respect for her, that I cannot express to you. Her life has been one of such trial and devotion, and such quiet goodness, as you can scarcely imagine. I can hardly think of her, far less speak of her, without feeling moved. Let that feeling represent what I could tell you, and commit her to your friendliness with my thanks. apostrophe, once more he put out his hand frankly to poor Flora. Once more poor Flora couldn't accept it frankly, found it worth nothing openly, must make the old intrigue and mystery of it. As much to her own enjoyment, as to his dismay, she covered it with a corner of her shawl as she took it. Then, looking towards the glass front of the counting house, and seeing two figures approaching, she cried with infinite relish, "Papa! Hush, Arthur, for mercy's sake!" Apostrophe and tottered back to her chair with an amazing imitation of being in danger of swooning, in the dread surprise and maidenly flutter of her spirits. The patriarch, meanwhile, came innately beaming towards the counting house in the wake of Panks. Panks opened the door for him, towed him in, and retired to his own moorings in a corner. "I heard from Flora," apostrophe said the patriarch with his benevolent smile, "that she was coming to call. And being out, I thought I'd come also, thought I'd come also." Apostrophe, the benign wisdom he infused into this declaration, not of itself profound, by means of his blue eyes, his shining head, and his long white hair, was most impressive. It seemed worth putting down among the noblest sentiments enunciated by the best of men. Also, when he said to Clennam, seating himself in the proffered chair, "And you are in a new business, Mr. Clennam? I wish you well, sir, I wish you well." Apostrophe, apostrophe, he seemed to have done benevolent wonders. "Mrs. Finching has been telling me, sir," apostrophe said Arthur, after making his acknowledgments. The relict of the late Mr. F. meanwhile protesting, with a gesture, against his use of that respectable name, that she hopes occasionally to employ the young needlewoman you recommended to my mother, for which I have been thanking her. Apostrophe, the patriarch turning his head in a lumbering way towards Panks, that assistant put up the notebook in which he had been absorbed, and took him in tow. "You didn't recommend her, you know," apostrophe said Panks. "How could you? You knew nothing about her, you didn't. The name was mentioned to you, and you passed it on. That's what you did." Apostrophe, "Well," apostrophe, apostrophe said Clennam. "As she justifies any recommendation, it is much the same thing." Apostrophe, "You are glad she turns out well," apostrophe said Panks, "but it wouldn't have been your fault if she had turned out ill. The credit's not yours as it is, and the blame wouldn't have been yours as it might have been. You gave no guarantee. You knew nothing about her." Apostrophe, "You are not acquainted, then," apostrophe said Arthur, hazarding a random question, "with any of her family?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "Acquainted with any of her family?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned Panks. "How should you be acquainted with any of her family? You never heard of them. You can't be acquainted with people you never heard of, can you? You should think not." Apostrophe, apostrophe, all this time the patriarch sat serenely smiling, nodding or shaking his head benevolently, as the case required. "As to being a reference," apostrophe said Panks, "you know, in a general way, what being a reference means. It's all your eye, that is. Look at your tenants down the yard here. They'd all be references for one another, if you'd let 'em. What would be the good of letting 'em? It's no satisfaction to be done by two men instead of one. One's enough. A person who can't pay, gets another person who can't pay, to guarantee that he can pay. Like a person with two wooden legs getting another person with two wooden legs, to guarantee that he has got two natural legs. It don't make either of them able to do a walking match. And four wooden legs are more troublesome to you than two, when you don't want any." Apostrophe, Mr. Panks concluded, by blowing off that steam of his. A momentary silence that ensued was broken by Mr. F.S. Ant, who had been sitting upright in a cataleptic state since her last public remark. She now underwent a violent twitch, calculated to produce a startling effect on the nerves of the uninitiated, and with the deadliest animosity observed, "You can't make a head and brains out of a brass knob with nothing in it. You couldn't do it when your Uncle George was living, much less when he's dead. apostrophe, Mr. Pancks was not slow to reply, with his usual calmness. Indeed, ma'am. Bless my soul. I'm surprised to hear it. Apostrophe, despite his presence of mind, however, the speech of Mr. F.S. Ant produced a depressing effect on the little assembly. Firstly, because it was impossible to disguise that Clennam's unoffending head was the particular temple of reason depreciated. And secondly, because nobody ever knew on these occasions whose Uncle George was referred to, or what spectral presence might be invoked under that appellation. Therefore Flora said, though still not without a certain boastfulness and triumph in her legacy, that Mr. F.S. Ant was very lively today, and she thought they had better go. Apostrophe, but Mr. F.S. Ant proved so lively, as to take the suggestion in unexpected dudgeon, and declare that she would not go, adding, with several injurious expressions, that if he too evidently meaning Clennam wanted to get rid of her, let him chuck her out of winder. Apostrophe, and urgently expressing her desire to see him perform that ceremony. In this dilemma, Mr. Pancks, whose resources appeared equal to any emergency in the patriarchal waters, slipped on his hat, slipped out at the counting house door, and slipped in again a moment afterwards with an artificial freshness upon him, as if he had been in the country for some weeks. Why, bless my heart, ma'am. Apostrophe, said Mr. Pancks, rubbing up his hair in great astonishment, is that you? How do you do, ma'am? You are looking charming today. I am delighted to see you. Favor me with your arm, ma'am. We'll have a little walk together, you and me, if you'll honor me with your company. Apostrophe, and so escorted Mr. F.S. Ant down the private staircase of the counting house with great gallantry and success. The patriarchal Mr. Casby then rose with the air of having done it himself, and blandly followed, leaving his daughter, as she followed in her turn, to remark to her former lover in a distracted whisper which she very much enjoyed, that they had drained the cup of life to the dregs, and further to hint mysteriously, that the late Mr. F. was at the bottom of it. Alone again, Clennam became a prey to his old doubts in reference to his mother and little Dorrit, and revolved the old thoughts and suspicions. They were all in his mind, blending themselves with the duties he was mechanically discharging, when a shadow on his papers caused him to look up for the cause. The cause was Mr. Pancks. With his hat thrown back upon his ears, as if his wiry prongs of hair had darted up like springs, and cast it off, with his jet-black beads of eyes inquisitively sharp, with the fingers of his right hand in his mouth, that he might bite the nails, and with the fingers of his left hand in reserve in his pocket for another course, Mr. Pancks cast his shadow through the glass upon the books and papers. Mr. Pancks asked, with a little inquiring twist of his head, if he might come in again? Clennam replied with a nod of his head in the affirmative. Mr. Pancks worked his way in, came alongside the desk, made himself fast by leaning his arms upon it, and started conversation with a puff and a snort. Mr. F.S. Ant is appeased, I hope? Apostrophe, said Clennam. All right, sir, apostrophe, said Pancks. I am so unfortunate, as to have awakened a strong animosity in the breast of that lady, apostrophe, said Clennam. Do you know why? Apostrophe, does she know why? Apostrophe, said Pancks. I suppose not. Apostrophe, I suppose not, apostrophe, said Pancks. He took out his notebook, opened it, shut it, dropped it into his hat, which was beside him on the desk, and looked in at it as it lay at the bottom of the hat, all with a great appearance of consideration. Mr. Clennam, apostrophe, he then began, I am in want of information, sir. Apostrophe, connected with this firm? Apostrophe, asked Clennam. No, apostrophe, said Pancks. With what then, Mr. Pancks? That is to say, assuming that you wanted of me. Apostrophe, yes, sir, yes, I wanted of you, apostrophe, said Pancks, if I can persuade you to furnish it. A, B, C, D. D, A, D, Di, Do. Dictionary order. Dorrit. That's the name, sir? Apostrophe, Mr. Panks blew off his peculiar noise again, and fell to at his right hand nails. Arthur looked searchingly at him. He returned the look. I don't understand you, Mr. Panks. Apostrophe, that's the name that I want to know about. Apostrophe, and what do you want to know? Apostrophe, apostrophe, whatever you can and will tell me. Apostrophe, this comprehensive summary of his desires was not discharged without some heavy laboring on the part of Mr. Panks' machinery. This is a singular visit, Mr. Panks. It strikes me as rather extraordinary that you should come with such an object to me. Apostrophe, it may be all extraordinary together, apostrophe, returned Panks. It may be out of the ordinary course, and yet be business. In short, it is business. I am a man of business. What business have I in this present world, except to stick to business? No business. Apostrophe, with his former doubt whether this dry, hard personage were quite in earnest, Clennam again turned his eyes attentively upon his face. It was as scrubby and dingy as ever, and as eager and quick as ever, and he could see nothing lurking in it that was at all expressive of a latent mockery that it seemed to strike upon his ear in the voice. Now, apostrophe, said Panks, to put this business on its own footing, it's not my proprietor's. Apostrophe, do you refer to Mr. Casby as your proprietor? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Panks nodded. My proprietor. Put a case. Say, at my proprietor's I hear name of young person Mr. Clennam wants to serve. Say, name first mentioned to my proprietor by Plornish in the yard. Say, I go to Plornish. Say, I ask Plornish as a matter. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.